I was going to look into the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and we'll start reading there, starting in verse 18. But like I said, I appreciate this opportunity tonight, and I'm depending on God. He's the only one that we can depend on. In Hebrews chapter 12, starting verse 18, he said, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of trumpet, and the sound and the voice of words, which voice they heard entreated them that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We pray, God, that you would help us tonight in this service. Pray, God, that your will be done. We pray that you would help us to say what you would have us to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I were going to title my message, I guess I would title "Listen to Him." We notice in verse 18 where it talks about the mount, which cannot be that can be touched, is referring to Mount Sinai. When God came down on the mountain, when He came down, the whole mountain shook. The great power of God was there. The whole mountain began to burn with fire. And I've even heard some people that have done some studies over on this mountain. They said that there's a mountain over there somewhere. They figure it must be the same mountain that the whole mountain seemed like it's just burned around the top of it. It's not a volcano. But it seemed like the whole mountain is burned, and they say it's been burned from many, many years ago. So it's kind of geologists, or however you say that word, have seemed like they're trying to prove out what the Bible actually says, which we know the Bible to be true. We don't, we take it by faith. We don't have to have these things to know that these things actually happen. But in order to prove it to men, God allowed them to find this. But this mountain, when God came down on this mountain, it was just an ordinary mountain. But when God came down, he had told Moses, and he told the people not to come to the mountain, to set up a border around this mountain. And if even a beast or any kind of beast whatsoever was to come and touch that mountain, because God's presence was there so strong, and because that mountain was so holy, that even that beast should be stoned or should be thrust through with a dart. So, and when they saw this, they began to have great fear. And, I look at our church world today, and I wonder, and I guess, Brother Rick, I'm kind of amazed at the lack of fear that we have in our churches. You know, we expect this from the world. You know, we expect Hollywood to make fun of us. We expect Hollywood to take God's word lightly. But the problem is, I see in our churches sometimes that we come to church and we seem like that church is just a place to have fun, just to have a social gathering. We're not careful on how we dress when we come to church. You know, we need to be careful how we dress, period. But I think that when we come to church, you know, and I say this because when I pray, there's been times that, you know, when I begin to pray, the closer I get to God, I feel naked. You know, even at times I'm there praying, I have on my long sleeves and all this, and I feel like even my feet needs to be covered sometimes because I just, and the closer we get to God, the more that we want to cover, you know, the more sins, if there's anything in our lives, you know, you can't get down on your knees and pray and have bitterness in your heart because one of them's going to have to go. Either you're going to have to stop praying or you're going to have to stop being bitter. But, you know, there's not as much fear. I could remember as a boy or as a young man, I had gotten away from the Lord. I was backslid. You know, you would say, well, we're just cold in the Lord. I'm still going to church. I'm still faithful to church. But in my heart, Brother Rick, I was backslid. And I could remember driving down the road, having on some kind of ungodly music playing real loud. But when I topped that hill there close to Red Springs Assembly of God, there was something that got a hold of me. And I'd have to turn it down. I said, I can't play it. I can't do that coming by here. Because even in my sinful state, there was a fear that gripped me because I knew that's where God dwells. I heard Brother Donald Turner talk about he and his older brother one time used to take a shortcut going through the woods. And they would go by a certain place, and they knew that the pastor of the church, that was where he prayed. And sometimes they would be running and playing and acting up like boys do. But when they came to where the pastor was praying, and his brother was a sinful man. He was, you know, up until, I'm not even sure that he even got saved before he died. But his brother was a sinful man. But he said that even in his sinful state, when he came near to where the praying place was for that pastor, he said he would even stop in awe and in reverence. But yet today it seems like we don't have any fear of God. It seems like, you know, we come to church, even though inside of here we say we don't want any food or drinks, but I've even heard of churches where after Sunday morning service, they have to spend a lot of time just cleaning up the drink cans and the ice cream and the biscuit wrappers and stuff like that, where they would take and just throw it out on the floor and put it in the pews. There's something wrong when people can come to God's house and not have any more reverence for it than that. You know, I think when we come to church, we should be careful on how we dress. You know, we're not going to bed. You know, we come to church, we're not going to bed. We're going to worship God, and I think that we need to have that fear in our heart and that reverence in our heart. You know, we think, you know, I've heard people say, well, I wish I could talk to God and I'd tell him a few things. I read about what Job said. You know, Job said, if I could find God, I'd plead my cause to him. I said, look, God, you know, you've done this to me, and I haven't done anything worthy of this. But when he wound up talking to Job, when Job wound up talking to God, he found out that, you know, God said, where was you at? Once he come face to face with God, he realized that he's no match for God. We look at John, who while Jesus was on earth, was one of the ones that was said was laying on Jesus' breast. Said of himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But when he met him on the Isle of Patmos and he found him in all his glory, he fell at his feet as a dead man. I think it's time that we need to realize that the God that we're serving, the God that we're worshiping here at this church, is not like a grandfather figure or a father figure that we can just crawl up in his lap and tell him everything we want to tell him. But we need to realize that he is a holy God. He is a God that's going to do right. And we're not going to enter into him. You know, when we come into him and we begin to talk to him, we're going to have to do it his way. Psalm 111:10 said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." You know, we take, I was talking with one of my bosses, and I had mentioned something about some things that, you know, pertaining to an unattended bag, and I was just basically, you know, just questioning him on what he would do, just mostly just messing with him a little bit. And I said, "What if there's a bomb in that bag?" I said, "What if you key up on the radio to call security to come check that bag out and it goes off?" I said, "Because some bombs are like that." And he said, "Well, what's the chance of that happening?" I said, "Well, not very much." I said, "If you got a 100 glasses of water, all of them look the same except one of them's full of cyanide." I said, "Would you drink one of them?" "No." So, but yet, he said, "I'd be afraid of it." But yet we come to God so calloused. And we think that we can just come to God at just any old time, you know, but there's got to be some preparation, I believe, in our heart. You know, we can come to him boldly, but we can't come to him with the attitude that you owe me this. You know, and the more I read, the more I understand, Lord, I'm not worthy of anything. And I've been in services where the power of God would be so strong that I would try to climb under the altar because I say, Lord, I'm just not worthy even to lift my head, you know, and to face you. But there's not that fear anymore in our churches. You know, we come, and I can remember as a boy, you know, and we still see it a lot today, but when the Holy Ghost would give out a message in tongues, everything got quiet, and it should. But I've seen a lot of times that people they don't care anymore. You know, someone can be giving out a message in tongues, and we'll still be texting on our phone. We'll still be doing, you know, me personally, I think God's house should be a holy place, a reverence place. I don't even wear a hat. You know, I come in that door, if I've got a hat on, I take it off. I think that there should be a reverence made, you know, as we come into the house of God. But we just, you know, there's not a fear anymore. When the preacher's preaching or when the altar call is given and there's conviction in the service, a lot of times we'll just, you know, we don't care. We'll just keep right on doing what we was doing. We're writing notes or reading the song book or whatever, you know, instead of praying because, you know, some soul may be hung in the balance. I think there needs to be a better fear. And once we, you know, and the closer we get to God, the more fear we're going to have. You know, and I've been in services where the power of God would come in so strong that even the children, even the babies would be quiet. The babies wouldn't even cry because even the babies knew that there was something there that I need to be quiet and start to reverence. But it's a shame that even adults won't do that. I've seen the power of God so strong in a service, conviction so strong especially one certain young lady. She rejected God. And she got up right in the middle of the service, Brother Rick, and walked out. And there was two double doors that swung open. And from my understanding, I wasn't watching, I was praying. But I think Brother Jerry said that when she went through, she just hit both doors and just knocked them wide open. because she didn't want to hear what was being said. She did not have enough fear of God in her life. And there needs to be a more reverence. Even Solomon concluded the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. You know, if we fear God, then we don't have trouble with sin. You know, when we fear God, we don't have, you know, we don't have trouble with backbiting and all these other things. You know, the closer we get to God, the more we fear him, the more we're going to try to be like him. But if the people feared greatly at this mountain, they said to Moses, they said, you know, we're afraid. We don't want to hear what God is saying to us because, you know, we can't handle it. But they said, Moses, if you'll go and you'll talk to God, you'll go, you hear what he's got to say, and you come back, you tell us, and we'll listen to you. But if the people were so greatly feared so much then, how much greater fear do you think that's going to happen whenever God comes back and he begins to shake not just the earth, not just one mountain, but the whole earth is on fire. The heavens are on fire. You know, when we begin to realize, you know, we have this, and it bothers me, the jokes that I hear, the people that are so calloused and they trifle with God. They talk about hell as if it's a joke. You know, they want to use it, and they want to take Jesus' name and use it as a slang. But even the people, when they met God on earth, they said, we can't talk to him. We can't see him. Moses, we want you to be our mediator. And if it's so much then, and this is just, you know, what they saw on Mount Sinai is nothing to be compared. It's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He said, if these people greatly feared, how do you think you're going to make it when you meet him face to face? When you see God in his full glory, how are you going to live? When he shakes not only the heavens, but the earth also, how are you going to make it? And how is it that we think that we can reason with God? And like I said, I've heard people say this, and it bothers me. You know, they think that they're going to go to heaven, or they're going to be like they're going to be their own lawyer. They're going to go up they're going to talk to God, and they say, well, you know, I asked you for this, and you gave me this, and you did me wrong. But the Bible says that God's going to judge them. He said, you know, he's going to open the books, and he's going to say to those on one side, depart from me, and those on the other, enter into my rest. You're not going to have the opportunity to argue with God. Your decision is being made right now. But when we read in verse 24, it said, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. If we look at Abel, we find where that after Cain had killed him, God came to Cain and asked him, where's your brother? And of course, we know the story. Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? And God said, I'm putting this in my own words, but why do I hear Abel's blood crying from the earth? Because that you have slain him. If that blood cried out to God, how much greater is the blood of his own son going to cry out to God? How much sore punishment are we going to be counted worthy of if we take his blood and take it for granted? It's time for us to hear him. It's time for us to open our ears. Jesus' blood is crying out. Jesus has done everything he can for you. He shed his blood. He is the one that all, you know, all the other sacrifices that's been made, he doubles that. He's done it perfectly. But yet, if we won't hear, how can we be saved? It's time for us to hear. It's time for us to open our ears and listen to Jesus' blood that's crying from the earth. If we could take a look at how great of a sacrifice that was paid. Jesus was not worthy to die, but yet we are worthy to die. We're not worthy even that he should die for us, but he did. So why should we not reverence him? Why should we not fear him? Why is it that we go about our lives, we come to church, we come to his house supposedly to worship him, but we don't even think about him. The whole time we're thinking about what we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do after church. But yet his blood is crying out. He's asking you, say, here I, you know. Could we imagine tonight Jesus on the cross saying, I've shed it. You know, when he said it is finished, then there's nothing else that can take your sins away. No amount of pleasure will ever bring you happiness until you accepted his blood. But if the blood of Abel cried out to God, how much more so is the blood of Jesus crying out? In Hebrews 10 and 28, said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye that he shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted his blood of covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite the Spirit of grace. If we despise him, if under two or three witnesses a man was stoned, how much more sore punishment do we think that we're going to, do we deserve if we just trodden underfoot? In Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11 said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for him. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We need to hear Jesus' blood crying out for us. If you neglect him now, then there's no hope for you in the end. Let's all stand. Brother Rick, I'm on.